This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us. And our special guest on today's episode of 5x5, Lauren Caparizzo.
Hi.
Lauren, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. So
what about, you know, you're one of our OG guests.
Single digit. Honored, honestly.
You're a single digit guest.
And the fact that you brought me back even is incredible.
Don't pass any judgment on how long it took.
Like,
don't let that influence.
No judgment to be passed.
We're still friends. We're good.
There's a judgment free zone.
Okay. We are very grateful to have you back.
I'm very honored to be here.
And it's a nice throwback. You know, it's like the Apple employees. You know, the Apple employees, like the ID, they have an ID.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like if you're within the first 100, you're like,
you get a badge.
You were there.
It's like you're treated like royalty.
Yeah.
Do I get a badge?
We'll make something up. Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Great. I would love that.
This is 5x5. Why don't you tell us a little bit? I'm already all over the place.
we're off the rails.
Nostalgia. So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself so that our global audience in particular can catch up.
Global audience. That's a lot of pressure. I am the head of sales marketing for a company called Climbing Collective. We own and operate rock climbing facilities, Philadelphia Rock Gyms in and around Philadelphia, Inner Peaks down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and most recently Hudson Boulders up in Albany, New York.
Wow.
And
that is a promotion since the last time you were here.
You
were not the head of anything.
Yeah.
I think you worked there.
I was the head of business development for Philadelphia Rock Gyms, and since then we've expanded and
So you were the head of something.
Yeah, but you know. Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, you know.
Almost like a capo.
Yeah, almost like a capo. That last almost. Name there.
I have a colleague who works he lives in, you know, works remotely down in Virginia, and he's a rock climbing guy.
It's big. People love it.
It's a big, and he tells me, like, about it.
Yeah.
He feels me, you know what I mean? Because I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, and
get all the hot goss.
Yeah. He'll kind of, because I've asked him, you know, like, how does it work and all that kind of thing. And he goes to the gym and they've got a place where he goes and he drives. He drives like an hour or something to this rock climbing gym every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he'll share, like, when he's, does these other things.
Yeah.
see how much knowledge I have.
We should. So this is now I have a vision. We put rock climbing in as a topic and it's just,
and
we don't have a rock climber.
Yeah, could you imagine?
I know. Can I be the expert that calls in and shares information?
Oh,
we should start doing like a lifeline.
Call an expert. Yeah.
I mean.
Rock climbing is one of those things that when people get into it, it's usually pretty rabidly. It's one of those. I don't know if there are other things out there that people just when they start
CrossFit.
Doing it. CrossFit is another one.
Flat earthers.
Flat earthers is another one.
All around the globe. It's weird.
Yeah.
Love it.
Stop.
Because I was trying to come up with like a hobby for the year, and I was kind
you
of I was
climbing?
Well, I was between that and flatter. That's
yeah,
why
well,
that
yeah,
was
sure.
why that was talking.
It's a close choice there.
They need flat earth gyms.
Oh my god, flat earthers that rock climb, so they understand that the world is can't you imagine?
Here comes the hate mail from the flat earthers. Here
well,
it comes.
Sorry, some things should
listen.
Just...
We are recording this episode at the So Good Media Studio inside the Candy Factory, a place that is often mistaken as a place where we would make candy. We don't.
Sorry.
No.
It's not what we do here. Instead, we make dreams come true for anybody who wants to join the club. It's it is a membership club. We offer co-working as our primary service. We also have a social club. We have a lot of resources for people who are entrepreneurs or like the media studio I mentioned earlier, business resources, that sort of thing. It's an awesome place. We have like 300 members.
And that's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
I am a giant fan of the Candy Factory, so I'm just going to go ahead and plug it that way too. Because every time you come here, there's such a great group of people and it's such an amazing space. Like I come here every once in a while when I'm working from home or doing what I need to do. And I, of course, know I'll run into some amazing folk here, like you fine gentlemen.
Thank you
and,
so much.
It's a great networking space. It's a really creative space. You meet a lot of people who have a lot of great ideas.
Yeah, but you're
hired. I mean, Oh, like, can I make those decisions? I don't know.
There aren't that many roles. There are a few.
Sorry, Ann. Just add plus one to the payroll. But,
yeah, no, that was a fantastic marketing meeting. It's not just co-working. It's really about the community. Mm-hmm. We save people from isolation. It's just a great place. It's just a great place to connect with other humans.
Big fan.
So the show couldn't be done. We wouldn't exist without the support of the Candy Factory, and of course, So Good Lancaster. Check out both of those things on the internet. It's a place.
Yeah, what is the internet?
Yeah, it's this network. What is it? Hoses and tubes.
It's hoses and tubes.
Hoses and tubes.
Knob. Why would we say knob and tube?
Oh boy.
The
fuse is blown on this episode already.
I might not even explain how this show works.
I'm sorry.
Let's just jump in.
If
they've never heard it before, they'll figure it out.
That's absolutely right.
You had 80 chances to figure it out before.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the, we were recording on Super Bowl Eve. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think maybe that's just what got me all thrown off.
Yeah.
You know, the holidays are tough.
Yeah, no interceptions too. We can't do it.
Super Bowl. Yeah, I hear they're playing a game at the Usher concert.
Is that what's going on this year?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It's fantastic. Taylor Swift's there. I don't know.
Yeah. And congratulations to the team that won.
Absolutely.
Because this will come out.
Right. This is going to come out way after the Super Bowl. People are like,
can we just edit it in later?
It's not football season.
Yeah.
All right. It's episode 81 of the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast. We're starting the engine right now. We're heading in. Frank, how about topic number one on this episode of 5x5? Oh my God.
Can I ask how Frank got his name?
We got to go.
Okay, never mind. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
All right. I don't even know how to pronounce this word. Uh-oh. It's B-I-D-E-T.
A bidet.
Bidet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the toilet thing?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was spelled that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's French.
I knew it was French because French people get all worked up about people who don't have them.
Oh, Lord, do they?
So yes. I knew that. But I just didn't know it was spelled that way. Bidet. Okay, that makes sense. I don't know why I thought it had an O, like boo, bow.
Because it's French. And French, right.
There's a lot of letters in there.
All right. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on bidets? Anybody? Jump in.
This is another thing that people are rabid about. Yes. I know that if you have one, you tend to be a large fan. Mm-hmm. I have not personally owned a bidet, but people
have you
love
used
them.
A bidet?
I don't think so. I don't think I have. No. That feels like something you would remember, right?
I feel like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And I feel like that I feel like I would really enjoy it. I feel like that I would probably invest in one if I did. So the reason that I have avoided them when I've been in their presence is financial. It's strictly financial. I'm saving myself the money that I would spend installing one.
It's actually not that.
I was going to say they've made them very accessible now because you can add it to your current system at home.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sold.
Yeah.
I'm going on that internet thing right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm buying
those knobs and tubes.
I'm buying a Bidet.
A Bidet.
By the way, Dix, always a pleasure to hang out with you. I didn't mention that earlier in the program. What's your thoughts
I have used one. I get why the French are obsessed with it and why some of my friends are obsessed with it. I don't like the feeling of water being forcefully injected places.
Into the bum.
Yes. Maybe I would get used to it, but it just, and I do understand that like sometimes it might be necessary for certain occasions, which is fair.
Mm-hmm. But absolutely.
It's like, I don't know.
I have questions. So now that I know you've used one.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be the time to ask you, but now I'm going to. Okay. That's a lot of water.
There's a whole lot of.
Oh, there's a volume knob.
Like, do you need a towel after? That's what I'm asking.
No. It's not that bad. I mean, I guess it could. In theory, it could be, but like that's just you just went overboard and probably are drunk and just should have gone to bed. But no, you can like set the force or the. The one thing that's nice are the ones that have temperature control, because that is key. Like,
it sounds lovely. I don't
getting
know.
It a little warmer is definitely better.
Jason's sold.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know we don't. Yeah, yeah. We should.
Please go on. I love just of hearing about it. It's very meditative for me right now.
I think there's some that also like will vary the not pressure. What do you call like with a shower head you can change the
water pressure.
Is it pressure really?
Yeah, sure.
But it's like the type of knot, like
oh you know, yeah, the jet stream.
That's it. Yes, yeah. Yes. Like sure. I think it could be like pulsing or like constant or like, I think. I didn't mess with that stuff.
You have options is what you're saying.
Yes, there are many options.
Okay, right.
I feel like if I installed a bidet or a bidet add-on, mm-hmm. that it would be very middle class though. That I would get like the one setting. Maybe I'd have a volume knob.
Sure.
But it wouldn't be this super.
You don't need the extreme.
I feel like that I just wouldn't have. I just would go right to that second tier.
Mm-hmm. You'd still want the temperature though.
Oh, I would love the temperature.
Yeah, I don't think you would skimp on that.
Yeah, cold water sounds terrible. Ugh. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's time. I feel like it's time to dip my toe into...
yep, listen, they're out there.
Into bidet land.
You should, and then I would love a follow-up on your review.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe a blog post.
Yeah.
It feels very 2010 to say that, but I think maybe it's... What happened to blog posts?
Oh, they're still alive and well.
Yeah.
Do people read them or is it just an SEO thing?
I mean, yes, because SEO. So, I mean, what you're trying to do is, this is my marketing jumping in, but what you're trying to do is answer questions that people commonly have. So, so that you pop up, your website, your article pops up. You want to be the Google snippet that shows up at the top.
The constant FAQ.
Yeah.
Or the omnipresent FAQ, not constant.
But, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's fair.
Because we just ask Google everything.
We do. And now there's that Google thing at the top. That's like the AI generated little thing. Does that eradicate the blog post? Are we coming to the end? Is the plane landing on blog posts?
I mean, it needs to pull something. It needs to pull content.
Yeah, but it
could
pull it,
search.
But without, I don't recall seeing a real obvious, like, I'm going to now go to that thing. Like,
right.
I've gotten the information.
The answer at the top. Yeah.
And so I don't care who published it. Where it came from,
right?
Which is obviously how we interact with the internet now,
right?
I had the question. The question had an answer that was satisfactory mm-hmm. for me to resolve the bet that's happening at the dinner table, mm-hmm. and I've moved on.
Yeah, it's true.
So I guess where I was going with that is like our blogs kind of ending. They had a good run.
They had a good run, solid run. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're ending. I do think they will evolve.
Are they going to be in the? Are we going to throw back? Is that going to be like a nostalgia thing? Like in 10 years, people are going to be like blogging again?
Yeah. That's the only way to get people to pay attention.
I feel like I want to blog.
Well, like vlogs evolved into they went from like long form to like short form. And honestly, I feel like there's going to be like a throwback to original Twitter. Is what's going to happen? That'll be blogging.
Well, we're flushing the blogs on topic number one of this episode of 5x5.
We really got off the rails there.
Woo! Topic number two is Mission Impossible.
Oh.
Mission Impossible.
I just watched the newest one, actually.
Oh, thoughts?
Dead Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Pro or con?
We made up a middle one.
Oh, there was a middle one. Shoot.
Prawn,
yes.
That one.
Okay.
I choose that. Yeah.
Prawn is either a large shrimp or it's I'm eh.
Yeah.
When it comes to pro or con.
Yeah. That. Okay. I choose that. No, it was the, you know, action.
Mm-hmm.
Go Tom Cruise. And and then.
He's still the guy that's doing that?
He's still the guy.
Doing like 90% of his stunts still.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Dix, where are you on Mission Impossible? Because I have something to say and I want to hear your thoughts first.
Well, okay. So Tom Cruise annoys the shit out of me. Let's start with that. But I cannot deny the fact that he puts 110% into all of those movies and all of those stunts. And like, I just at a base level have to respect that. And like the dedication to doing things is, you know, in real life as much as possible, like the plane stunt 2 or 3 movies ago, do you know what I'm talking about? Like obviously he was harnessed, but like
in Mission Impossible,
literally was hanging off the side of a military like plane, mm-hmm. like for a shot.
Yeah.
Just, and I think they had to do it like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
I mean, like he does the thing.
He does
so
the
it's
thing.
Like, I can't hate that, but God, is he fucking annoying. Jesus. I mean, I even like the Katie Holmes couch nonsense, like from 20. I don't remember.
Is that when he got up and danced around on the couch?
I love Katie Holmes. Dude, what? Like, talk about taking it to 11.
You know how these franchises have like these long histories and they go back to these, you know, decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mission Impossible was a TV show yeah. like in the 60s or something.
Mm-hmm. Very sedate.
And you know how you can kind of jump into these franchises, right? Star Wars,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. It's a great example. Star yeah. Trek,
right?
Going back to 1966, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever seen a Mission Impossible anything.
You know, that's impressive in and of itself. And also, you're not really missing much, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to have Mission Impossible and Flat Earthers coming for me after this episode. But this
is the episode of hate mail. Oh, yeah. It is coming.
Yep. That's the title.
The thing about it is that I just don't recall ever, you know, and there are... Usually when people listen to this program, they think that I'm the biggest dud in the whole planet.
Think that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about anything, it seems. When people start talking about pop culture, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. This old curmudgeon guy.
Makes you more interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there.
But I just want to, for the record, on 5x5, indicate that there are certain, like, television and film franchises that I have actually participated in over the years. Star Trek would be a good example.
Okay, I was going to ask which
Star ones. Trek is definitely one that I don't have a lot of knowledge retention, right? So I'm not going to get the like episode 3, season 8 of Deep Space Nine, you know,
yeah.
minute 38 reference.
Yeah. Right? They exist. People exist. Mm-hmm.
But I do have some, like I have watched some things.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible is just one that has completely eluded. Like I just and I know there's just movie after movie. I see the commercials when I'm watching football or whatever, you know, like it'll.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say earlier is the fact that I was surprised that Tom Cruise is still a guy who does these things, because what I've realized is it seems as though there was this period of time, let's just say the mid '60s through like the mid '90s, something like that. And it just seems like that we can't let go of the brands and the stars and the musicians and the, like, I'm flabbergasted that at 52 years old, I'm still talking about the guy that I was talking about when I was literally 14 and Risky Business was a and every kid who was 14 like me wanted to see it because it showed naked ladies.
Uh-huh, right, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone would have said to me at 52, you're going to be sitting around doing a podcast, I'd be like, what's a podcast? That's beside the point. And you'd be talking about Tom Cruise's new movie where it's an action hero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what?
Yeah. Absurd.
And that Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the two guys going, I mean, back then they were around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in the news then.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that especially,
we're just frozen in time.
Especially feel like my age, we've just never, like we had things established when we were teenagers, and they were either a little older, like from the late 60s, early 70s, or they were just on the cusp of happening, and then that's it.
Mm.
And we've got the same movies and brands and...
Russia's bad again.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
So now I'm wondering who are we going to still be talking about? And like in our 50s,
Taylor Swift.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
No one will know who Travis Kelce is.
No.
Sure. Well, except for that album that she's about to write about him in a year when they break up.
Correct.
I'm segue-less. We're moving on to topic number 3 of this episode.
We're
of
stuck
5
in time.
5. That segue was an impossible mission for me.
There it is.
Fish heads.
Fish
heads. The heads of fish.
Seriously?
This was suggested by my friend Diggs.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Not like the band. You mean actual fish.
There are two words on my screen.
No. Spell the fish one. That's what you mean.
F. It's with an F.
The F. Okay. No. Then I did. I thought at first this was like about
the band.
So I
see what you're saying.
Yes.
There are two words on my screen. The first one is fish. There's a space, and then it says heads.
Okay, yes. I find them gross. I know why I brought this up.
Great. Next topic.
We can't write. It's 5. It can't be 5x30.
No, but I need someone to explain this to me. Why do people if you like fish, let's start there.
All right. Let's start with fish.
Okay.
Why
not the band, the food.
The food.
Or the animal.
Animal.
Or the animal. I'm sorry. If you like to consume fish, why, what is this thing about the folks who must have the head of the fish on the fish as you're eating it. If like, I understand if you're like, you know, it's like cultural relevance and like you're like visiting a place where that, you know, filleting.
Yeah, when in Rome, right?
Right. But like, why do we need that in the States? Mm. It grosses me out and I don't understand it. And I need someone to help me understand because it's just like, just get a fillet of fish. Like, what?
That's a great question, actually.
It's gross.
But I'm going to.
I'm not sure I have the answer, though.
Oh, I'm going to just reveal more of my duddum.
Uh-oh.
Which is, with the exception of like a cartoon mm-hmm. or something, I don't know that I've ever been in the physical presence.
Of a fish head?
Of like a meal brought out.
Oh, bless you.
You know what I mean? Like at a restaurant.
Sure.
You brought me out the fish and there's the head of the fish attached to the body and I'm eating the body. Like that has never happened for me.
Really?
You are a lucky, lucky man.
I feel like someone just pulled a curtain back, or I just got my new glasses.
Just learned, yeah.
One of the two things.
I can see clearly.
The world is now completely different. This happens, or I'm not in the presence of people who order a lot.
You know, I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna attempt to answer your question, Diggs. Mm. And this is purely a guess, so nobody hold me accountable for this. I think it's just a culinary presentation type thing. Like certain types of fish is prepared a certain way, like a bronzino, you know, and they set it aflame in front of you. They cover it in like the salt thing and they set it in flame. This is the most recent time.
I got to start going to restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I go to a lot of restaurants. I must just go to the same six.
I think it's just, and sometimes speaking of prawns, not, you know, the neutral pro or con, but also actual real prawns. So I just went somewhere recently where the head was still on the prawn and I had to.
You went somewhere where they served a head full prawn.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Absolutely.
I know people who are listening cannot see my visceral reactions, but like I am.
this is a trigger for you. This is a real problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I just learned something about you, Diggs.
Yeah,
this is why I do this program.
No fish heads. To learn about Diggs.
To learn about Diggs and to learn about like cultural things that I'm obviously under a rock. It's unbelievable. Are there other? Let me just go there. Are there other animals that get served with the head besides the fish?
Sure.
And prawns.
Pigs.
Pigs. Yeah.
Okay.
Whoops.
Not in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Are you sure.
The pig with the apple thing that still happens.
No. I've seen that at the.
Oh,
at,
like catering things. Is that
what I've seen it at like the, I'm not that highbrow, you know?
I mean, they're not bringing the whole pig to your table.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. Let's not be ridiculous. Yeah. No, I'm saying that I've been at barbecues or, you know, like people do the
pig roasts.
Pig roast. Thank you. Yeah. Pig roast. Yeah. Where there's been the apple and it's just kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But not in a restaurant. I've not seen a pig head in a restaurant.
Yeah,
I've got to get out more.
I'm sure they're there.
I've got to get out more.
I don't know if you see, but I don't think it needs to be a thing. Like, unless it's truly tied, like at a pig roast, makes sense. I get it. You at a Mediterranean restaurant with the headfulness, fine. I don't need to. My run of the mill American or Italian or whatever. Like, I don't. No, just stop.
All right, so I'm gonna re-ask my question. Are there any other?
Oh, right.
Single serving. Animals.
Single serving.
I can't think of another one.
In a restaurant. Like, I'm trying to think of an animal.
I've got so many examples right now, but I don't know if they fit the... I just saw a friend posted a reel. He did a video for some restaurant in Philly, and they had the whole alligator head.
Oh.
Like,
wow.
Like, they were serving alligator. And they had this might have been in Florida, actually. He might have been traveling for work. But... they were serving alligator tacos, and so they like took a photo with the alligator head before they carved the whole
thing. Wow, that feels barbaric.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like you know what I mean?
Something about like eating an apex predator, you know what I mean? That's
we're a messed up species.
Yeah.
Wow.
And people like it. That's the part that I don't get. I'm like, why? No. Sorry.
Because it feels it does feel gross.
Yeah.
In this conversation. Maybe if I was in a restaurant and I was all dressed up and it was a nice place and they brought it out and there was a little thing, maybe I'd feel different. But
maybe.
But experiencing this like with my friend Diggs in this context, I'm like, Diggs, you're right.
We're just that far removed from like the meat we consume, like you just would rather not pretend it was real.
No. It's not that. It's just I know that it's real. It's just I don't need to see it.
Well, for Diggs' sake, the head has been removed from topic number 3 of this episode. We are moving on to topic number 4.
You're good at those.
Which is, thank you. Which is buffalo wings.
Speaking of
buffalo.
Speaking chicken of food heads? That has nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think buffalo have wings.
Oh. You don't think?
Pretty sure.
Pretty yeah, sure buffalo don't have wings.
Yeah.
It's the city. You know that.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Which raises an interesting question. We're just having a conversation the other day, me and a teenager who didn't know that. And I said it's like Nashville hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How there are cities who create these cuisine, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
For him, it was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like Texas barbecue.
Right.
I mean, even though you should really get more specific than Texas. But,
right, right.
Yeah.
But I think that the buffalo throws you off because of the
animal.
Of the animal.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Whereas Nashville kind of makes sense, right? But I was like, it's like that. I was like, oh, okay. Because we just watched the Buffalo Bills, you know, not long ago. So it's like, because the Pittsburgh Steelers played the Buffalo Bills and lost tragically in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not bitter about that.
Yeah.
No.
Do you like buffalo wings?
I do. I prefer hot. Because buffalo is that, it's that, like, it's calibrated to be palatable to both people that want spicy and not spicy, even though the spicy folks are not going to go buffalo anyway. So I don't know why it still exists, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, no, I'll do a good buffalo wing.
All right, I have the age old question: flats or drums?
Okay, it depends. It depends on the breading.
Oh,
so if it's breaded or not? Because my thing is, so there is an establishment in this fair town of ours that I love dearly, but sometimes the drums get, when they're breaded, the drums do not get fully cooked, and so. And it's been improving of late. So sometimes because of that, I will just stick to flats in a breaded situation.
Mm.
If I had to pick, I do prefer flats overall. But honestly, I like the mix. It's just if I can't trust the cooking, then I just want flats. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever thought about it that much.
Have you both always experienced buffalo wings? Like, do you remember a time before, like when they were new?
Yes, largely because the wings I grew up with were mostly like the Chinese food wings that are just fried.
Sure.
Like growing up in New York, so sauce on a wing, sauce?
Jesus sauce. Christ. That was real
New York. There.
You said New York and then slid right in.
Wow,
sauce.
It's saucy.
This is my coffee now.
So, yeah, I grew up around there too. We can switch to New York accents.
That was, I don't know. Anyway, the thought of liquid on my wings or some sort of sauce on my wings like just wasn't a thing. I don't even remember. I can't tell you the first time I had like a wet wing. I know what. No. There's a difference. When you say wet versus dry.
There's totally a difference.
A dry rub. Yeah.
Thank you. Come on.
No, hold on. I just need to point out that for some reason, when someone says sauce on a wing, it sounds fine. But when someone says liquid on a wing,
yeah.
or wet wing,
it sounds completely disgusting.
I'm going to advocate to change the name to wet wings.
To wet wings?
Yeah.
There are places that will list them like wet sauces. And, so, Jesus Christ. What? I haven't said
off
sauces
the
in so
rails.
Long. But yeah, they do the wet versus
wet,
dry.
Wet
yeah. Okay. Sure.
And my brain goes to wipes. As soon as he said wet,
yeah.
I went to wipes, and then I was thinking about like right a cloth.
Which you need when you eat wings.
You do.
That's true.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Well, that's where my head was. Like, you need the wipes
after the sauce. Wet wings and wet wipes.
Yeah.
Wings and wipes. I'm going to open that business. They're all wet.
I grew up in a very small town in West Virginia, very, very backwoods town, and Wingdings is what we called them.
Oh.
Wingdings.
Is that a store?
No, there were no restaurants that served these things,
mm-hmm.
but my grandma would get them at the grocery store, and she would make Wingdings.
Huh.
Oh.
And they were like deep fry. I think she would deep fry them.
Huh.
And they were called Wingdings, and then at some point, I want to say it's like in the late 80s, maybe the early 90s. I was somewhere and there was a bar and they were having wing night and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
I guess it was in college because I think they did 10 cent wings at this one place in college.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned about the whole buffalo wing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. But they were, I was like, oh, you're wingdings. I mean, talk about looking like an idiot.
Yeah, oh, well.
Right?
You know. At least you didn't say buffaloes don't have wings.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
How did you make this?
I didn't say that.
Why is it so small?
Well, and, you know, the thing about the size.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, what? Talk to me about the size of these. They are small. But chicken, are they the actual? Because, well, wait a minute.
I feel like.
I don't know that I've ever drilled down on this because I just live in society and try to function.
And you've never seen the head on the chicken served to you. So.
I have not.
Yeah.
But I like to go to the Giant, our local grocery store.
Beep, beep.
Oh, don't even. And I buy the chickens, the rotisserie chickens.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening.
You didn't know what that means?
No.
Yeah, okay. We'll get back to that. And the wings on the chicken are a lot bigger than the wings.
Well, we'll never know.
All right. Well, we're flying on out of Buffalo. And right into topic number 5, which is ironically the Grateful Dead.
Ah.
And I say ironically because my brain just connected all the dots back to the fish heads.
Mm, yep.
Yes.
Yep. Full circle here.
And I don't know that makes any sense to anybody, but my brain was like, oh, that's ironic. No, it's not really.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be useless on this. Every time I hear a Grateful Dead song, I don't know it's a Grateful Dead song. And
interesting.
I can't retain their discography to save my life.
Huh.
Because it just sounds like, it's just like, oh, this is nice.
Deadhead.
Family members have been Deadheads, so I grew up with Deadheads.
You have some peripheral knowledge.
Peripheral knowledge. I can't call myself a fan. So, especially because this is another one, rabid fan base.
Total subculture.
Yeah, total subculture. So I'm aware of it.
Probably one of the more obvious subcultures for me as a teenager in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
like of something that is so defined as a subculture that, you know, you knew that that thing existed and you knew that there was like a whole, you know, because pre-internet subcultures was a lot of dedication.
Yes.
This wasn't just like a Facebook
group.
You
had to try to find information.
You, right, exactly. Yeah. And there was like very interesting ways of doing that. In that, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Huh? I would say the same thing.
Prawn?
I'm a prawn. Mm. I'm a prawn with the dead. I mean,
head on or head off.
I appreciate. I'll eat a prawn. Did we just completely change the subject to seafood?
No. Well, yeah. Sure. No.
No.
I'm fascinated by what they did. I respect the band for the way that that whole thing played out, mm-hmm. and I respect the way that they did music different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they approached the idea of shows different. They approach the idea of bootlegs and recordings and those sorts of things different, and mm-hmm. set lists. And they every night was a different night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most bands.
Yeah. It was,
especially back in the arena rock days,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the setlist.com or whatever,
right,
would have been meaningless.
Right.
Because
right.
They those bands rehearsed a show and played the same show every night.
Yeah. Right.
You might have a really rare exception back in the 70s and 80s of these arena rock bands or stadium rock bands. You might have a rare exception of they throw in a song here. Remember, I saw Bon Jovi once in 89. They opened with a rain reference because it was raining mm-hmm. outside kind of a thing. And that mm-hmm. was it. Like, that was the only difference in the show.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, little nuances like that, but otherwise. But the Dead were different. The Dead played a different show every night.
Yeah, which is a real talent.
Okay.
It's almost like an overlap from jazz, right? Like where it's improv and it's just musicianship from a sense of like what you feel.
Absolutely.
And like what's the mood that night? You know what I mean?
And then that would be a catalyst for the fans being there every night.
Yep.
I see. Now this is making more sense. I truly was. I was like, "What is so different about them that?"
Yeah.
Like, because I didn't.
Which might be why you can't recognize their discography. Maybe because it changed a lot.
Maybe because this is starting to make some sense to me.
Yeah. The Deadheads that I was friends with in college, which would have been late '80s, early '90s, and there was like a revitalization with the Dead. You know, in a way, like it. In other words, our generation latched onto it. So you had the hippies and the original
mm-hmm.
run in the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. That's not that the band ever went away, but then all of a sudden teenagers, 16-year-olds in 1987 were like going to Dead shows.
Mm.
And tie-dye was the thing again and for a younger generation. And so I had a lot of friends who were, you know, Yeah, it was funny back then. It was way breakfast clubby. You know what I mean? Like you had the metalheads, you had the deadheads, you had the, you know, the skaters, you had these different groups and everybody wore their uniform. And but we all, anybody who wasn't kind of normal or conventional would hang out together. So we had, you know, there was a place called the Hippie House in college. And that
What went on there?
Gee, I wonder. And upstairs was the Metal House because there were metal guys up there.
Mm.
And so, you know, but we all partied together.
Sure.
You know, and so I knew a lot of these guys, and it was just, yeah, it was like this, every experience that the Dead did was, like, it was almost like the records were meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
The actual studio records were meaningless. Mm-hmm. The whole focus was on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
And the live stuff.
And these recordings.
Sure.
And it would be like, oh, you know, Boston, 83, you know.
Yeah.
Or
okay.
San Diego, 74, right. You know. Was got the greatest.
That's where the magic was.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is, you know.
And I have a lot of respect for that.
I do too.
You've cleared up so much. Because I was genuinely just like.
What makes the Dead so special?
Yeah. But that makes a lot of sense. And now it's sort of like, why don't. Has anyone tried to do that since?
Well, the other jam bands.
Yeah.
No, but to the same success? I'm guessing no.
Fish, probably.
Fish would probably be the second in line.
Hence the irony.
But I don't. But, you know. They're following that model.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's, and I'm not a, you know, so I'm, again, the hate mail could start flying in about this differentiation between these two bands.
Well, yeah, but like I like some of Fish's album stuff, and then I hear the lives and I'm like, oh man, this is like Farmhouse, like all the different versions of Farmhouse that I've heard. I'm just like, yeah, the studio version.
right. It's almost irrelevant.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And now you've cleared up. 32 years of confusion. No.
It's like you just got a new pair of glasses, Diggs.
Pull back the curtain.
Pull back the curtain.
Honestly.
Oh. Well, we are thankfully laying to rest topic number 5 of this episode.
Gratefully, yeah.
Yes.
5x5.
Yes.
Thankfully.
There was a question earlier that I think we should answer very quickly.
Which is?
Frank.
Yes.
I'm dying.
I don't know.
No, we worked this out.
Do you know?
It was, I'm pretty sure it was Anne. Because it was just,
I feel like it was Anne too.
And it was something like when was the day
the people
that
who
she,
Anne is.
Oh, sorry.
Anne is my partner, Anne Kirby. She is the founder and grand poobah here at the Candy Factory.
Mm-hmm. The head coworker in chief.
Yep.
Which was redundant, but whatever. And I swear the day that she came to record episode 3 or 5 or something like that. I think she just, and this is Frank Jr., by the way, or the third? This is Jr.
I can't remember.
But
it's a lot of Franks.
I think she was just like, we need a name. Frank. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what
I was my first time on this show, mm-hmm. There was no Frank.
There was no Frank.
Then it was after, so she must have been episode 5.
No, Ruby, my daughter, was
or
episode
6,
5.
Or 7.
Because it rolled right into it after I listened to you.
Yeah. There we go. Well, anyway, that's the theory.
All right, for next time, if I remember, we're going to go back. No, we're not, because we're going to record now.
Yeah,
sometime in the future, I'm going to go back and do some research and figure this out, and then I'll lock it in, and it'll go on the Wikipedia page for the Candy
Factory. Nice. I love that.
There we go.
I love that. We're hearing it here first, though.
Yes.
This is
the Grateful Dead version of the story of Frank.
We're improvising our way right through this one, folks.
Yep. Always.
That was that was some episode.
Yes.
Lawrence, just... such a pleasure.
Listen, I was listening to a few things this morning before I came on, just to, you know, get in the rhythm, and I was like, their voices and their personalities are so perfect for what you do.
Aww.
I'm such a big fan.
I'm starting to cry.
I'm just so happy to be here. You guys are really good at this.
Thank
you.
A lot of fun. Thank you so much. Well, having great guests makes it, you know what I mean? If it was just me and Diggs, I don't know.
Yeah,
I would listen.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, but I don't want. We need.
Keep the praise coming. Let's think of what else we can.
No, I'm good. I'm gonna start getting ick again.
I'm hoping to get called back for a third time. That's right. Oh. I'm angling here. You know.
That's yeah.
Well, it is the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting.
Zing. Normally.
Normally, this one went long.
Yeah.
Sorry, friends.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna end it right here.
Perfect.
We'll catch you all next time on 5. Bye. 5.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is produced at So Good Media Studio at The Candy Factory,
a co-working and social club located in downtown Lancaster, PA.
The show is hosted by Jason Mundock and Robert Diggs, with music by John Chin.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really cool guy. Find 5x5
at the Candy Factory website, coworkinginlancaster.com.
Every time I have to try so hard not to laugh.